Scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. This is chapter 9, and we begin in verse 9. Jesus left that place, and as he walked along, he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting in his office. He said to him, "Follow me." Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having a meal in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and other outcasts came and joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. Some Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such people?" Jesus heard them and answered, "People who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. Go and find out what is meant by the scripture that says, 'It is kindness that I want, not animal sacrifices. I have not come to call respectable people, but outcasts.'" Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Pray with me just for a minute, if you will. Lord God, I ask that you would guide me this day, that you would help me to just share what you want. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old saying that the truth is stranger than fiction. And we have opportunity from time to time in our lives to hear stories that they're true, but they do seem to be a little bit strange. And some of my favorites I get off of the internet, people share with me, and they're the criminal stories, the dumb criminal stories. There's one that's told of a bank robber. The police were able to track him down and arrest him because when he handed the holdup note to the bank teller, he wrote it on the back of his birth certificate. And then there was an ex-computer company employee, and he snuck back into the building at night. He was going to steal computer equipment. He had jammed the lock on the door with some paper. When the police arrived, they tracked him down and arrested him because they found the paper. It was a piece of a traffic ticket that he had gotten 2 days earlier. And then this guy. He was a robber. He had a great idea. He knew there would be surveillance cameras, and so he wrapped his head in duct tape so no one would recognize him. But he forgot to leave openings for his nose and his mouth. The police found him unconscious on the floor. And then one more. I'd love to see this video. There was a guy, he tried to break into a convenience store. And he had a big concrete block, and so he figured the easiest way to do it is just throw it through the window and break the window, and I'll get in that way. The window wasn't glass, it was plexiglass. Yeah, Mary's got it. When he threw the block, it hit the window. It came back and hit him. He was unconscious, lying there when the police arrived, and oh yes, the whole thing was on the surveillance videotape. You really can't make up stories like that. They're true. They might be a little strange, but they're true. And as believers in the gospel, in the whole Bible, as a matter of fact, sometimes people tell us the stories in the Bible are too strange. They couldn't possibly be true. But they are. So let me tell you a Bible story this morning. It's about a fellow by the name of Levi. Levi was very well known in the city where he lived. He was a prominent man there. Levi was wealthy. His house was large. He enjoyed having people over to his house to have meals together. All of his wealth had come from the fact that he was very successful at his job. Now, in real estate, they tell you that there's three things that are important: location, location, location. Well, Levi wasn't into real estate, but boy, did he have a location. It was right on the main street of town. It was right as you came into town. He never ran out of customers. He never ran out of business, because they would all come and see him when they came to town. Levi had a government position. He had great benefits. His future was absolutely secure. But strangely, at the very height of Levi's career, when he was the most successful, he left the business. He gave up all of the riches that he had. He started his whole life over doing a new thing. You and I have to realize that we're quite rich. We're a little bit like Levi, no matter what kind of a position you have in this world. We hear stories, we read about the rest of the world and how little they have. And then we have to realize that we have much and that we are rich, rich in our own way. So I ask you this morning, what would cause you to give up everything that you have and start doing something else? Go in a new direction in your life. You see, for Levi, it was only two words that changed his life. It was not just the words, however, but it was the speaker of the words. A man came up to Levi one day in his office there at the road in the main street of town, and he looked him straight in the eye and he said, "Follow me." And yes, you know this man Levi just as well as I do. You see, Levi is his Jewish name. We know him better by his Roman name, Matthew. Matthew, the tax collector. And the speaker of those words that changed his life, they came from none other than the Lord himself. They came from Jesus the Christ, the very Son of God. And "follow me" was given to him as a command. It was a call to discipleship. It was not a casual invitation. It was a request from someone who saw in Matthew the gifts and graces that he had to further God's kingdom. And you and I are tempted to think that when Matthew gave it all up for Jesus, it was an easy thing to do. But quite the contrary, because you and I have to realize that in our day and age, we have already read the whole story. We've read the whole book. We know what happens with Matthew and the others and the life of Jesus. But for Matthew on that day, he didn't have any of that information. We know of Christ's victory over death, his victory over sin, but Matthew didn't know that day. And yet, when Jesus told him to follow me, guess what he did? It's the very same now as it was back then. When Jesus places a call on your life, you are compelled to follow him. And my friends, if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. It will. There will come a day and Jesus will say, "Follow me." And then there you will be. You'll have to make the choice. Will I choose my own way? Or will I choose God's way? The great preacher and teacher, William Barclay, says this about Matthew. "He lost a comfortable job, but he found a destiny. He lost a good income, but he found honor. He lost a comfortable security, but he found an adventure the like of which he had never dreamed. It may be that if we accept the challenge of Christ, we too shall find ourselves poorer in material things. It may be that the worldly ambitions will have to go. But beyond doubt, we will find a peace and a joy and a thrill in life that we never knew before. In Jesus Christ, a person finds a wealth beyond anything that they may have to give up, to abandon for the sake of Christ. I've got a good friend. His name is Denny. He had a six-figure income job. He lives out in Colorado. And one day the Lord said, I want you to become a minister. And he said, okay. And so the next week he went in and he told his boss he was leaving. And within 2 months, he was enrolled in seminary and in school. He's a pastor today. He doesn't make anywhere near a six-figure income. And Denny's the happiest man that you ever met in your life. His wife, his children, all in a great place. I don't know that God will ask you to give up much to follow him. But whatever it is that he asks you to give up, boy, is it worth it to let it go to be with Jesus. Now, I think many of us will agree that we need to follow Jesus. We even acknowledge the fact that we will be blessed if we follow Jesus. And then the problem comes in, if I can use a gambling expression, when God's call comes, are we willing to put our money where our mouth is? And in this scripture, Jesus is actually asking us this question. He asks if we truly practice what we preach and live what we believe. He asks us, do you truly follow me, or do you only say that you will follow me? A while ago, I had to visit my doctor. It was my annual physical. And my current doctor follows one that I'd had for a long time, ever since Barbara and I and the kids had moved to the valley. And that doctor, the first one, he kind of knew me pretty well, and I kind of knew him pretty well. And he remembers me when I was quite a bit more athletic. He knew me when I was quite a bit thinner. And you know, that man would remind me of that every time I went to the doctor, that I should take up those habits again. When I met my current doctor, for the very first time, I went into his office with a very secret hope. I was really hoping that he would be a portly gentleman. I was hoping maybe he would be a bit out of shape. Probably didn't have the best eating habits, and therefore he might cut me some slack. And you know something? God has a sense of humor that's much bigger than we know. This very slender young man came into the office. He loves to go hiking with anybody. He bikes all the time. There isn't an ounce of fat on that man anywhere, at least that I can see. You see, doctors don't often come as we want them or expect them to be, but they are good for us, nevertheless. And my friends, Jesus is the great physician. Now, Matthew had invited Jesus to come over to his house for dinner, and they shared a meal with Matthew's friends. And you have to understand the significance of this. in those days, when you sat down to have a meal with somebody, what you were saying to everyone is, I accept you, and I want to be accepted by you. This was much more than just a casual dinner. And you know what? I think the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were peeking in the windows that day. Because they turned to the disciples and said, how can you let your leader Jesus eat with these kinds of folks? In another translation, it calls them sinners. Now the Pharisees were very, very strict in observing the Jewish law. And in their piety, they refused to eat with anybody that they considered common. They refused to eat with anybody that they thought was ceremonially impure, because then maybe they would catch that themselves. The Pharisees were practicing something called separatism. And it's still around today. In separatism, it promotes the idea that as Christians, we should separate ourselves from the people of the world that are not living like God would have them to live. We shouldn't mix with those that have adopted worldly habits. Did you know at one time in the Methodist Church, it was a sin to be caught dancing? Do you know that one time in the Methodist Church, it was a sin to be playing cards, going to the movies? Oh, as the church, we've found lots of reasons to be separate from the world. And some churches have even expanded this idea of separatism to include keeping apart from anyone, even Christians, who are not separate enough. Back in the 1950s, and Billy Graham was preaching, there were some Protestant churches that would have nothing to do with him because he had Catholic leaders up on the podium with him. He had black church leaders up on the podium with him. And so this story, among other things, teaches us the perils of separatism. You see, it is true that Christians lead a different lifestyle. But it also should be true that as witnesses to Jesus' gospel, we're willing to associate with anyone and everyone, even the ones that we don't necessarily agree with their preferences in life. As a matter of fact, my friends, if you look at Jesus' life, as someone goes and sits with a friend in a tavern, as someone goes to the office party, as someone hangs out with other people that maybe somebody else doesn't want to hang out with, isn't that what God said we should do? You see, we're the carriers of God's message, and God's message can get to anybody and change anybody. You know, I don't even have to change them. That's the beautiful part. We just need to introduce them to our Lord and our Savior. Jesus had overheard the Pharisees talking about all of this stuff, you know, hanging out with sinners, and then he speaks these words: those who are well have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. You know, when we get sick, when something is not right with us physically, we go to the doctor for healing, don't we? And we go there and have faith in the doctor to be able to cure our ills. And Jesus is the great physician. My friends, have you seen the doctor lately? The great physician has wonderful office hours, 24 hours a day, 70 you know, 7 days a week. Doesn't even take off for Christmas. He's there for healing. Healing of the hurts of the people in this world. And all are welcome to come to him for healing. He will heal the wounds caused by our families, our friends. He will heal the hurts of personal relationships that we have. Now, when I go to my family doctor, I go to the waiting room, and it's quite interesting there because some people are there with crutches, some people are there with sniffles, some folks have bandages on them, and some look perfectly normal, like there's nothing wrong with them on the outside. But they have come to the doctor because there's something wrong with them on the inside. They come for healing. This sanctuary space is sometimes the waiting room for the great physician. The prayer closet that you have in your house or in your heart is sometimes the waiting room of the great physician. Is there a sickness that you have today? Is there an illness? Is there a hurt? Is there a wound that you carry with you as you come to church this day? Is there sin in your life that you need to be healed from? Has your heart been broken by a callous remark that someone has made to you, either a friend or a relative? Are you in pain because of the pressures and the stresses of this world that are constantly upon us? And if you have any of those symptoms, then you need a doctor. Jesus Christ has more to give you than Band-Aids and Mercurochrome. Jesus Christ will come and give you complete healing. I think we ought to go to the doctor often for regular checkups, and then we need to run to him when we need something healed or cured. Let us pray. Lord, you changed Matthew's life. Change ours. Lord, we struggle in this world with all kinds of things. Lift us up. Lord, sometimes there is hurt and brokenness in our lives and our relationships. Would you come as the doctor and heal them? This we pray in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.